Today we have the auspicious honor of the Association of Malati Devi Prabhu, who is our ever well-wishing God sister, senior to 99.9% of devotees within our society, personal cook and associate of Srila Prabhupada, mother of the first child born within ISKCON, who Prabhupada said that she would cut her throat for me and I would do the same for her out of love. Let us welcome Malati Prabhu to Sri Radha Gopinath Temple. We request you to please speak something for some time.
Hare Krishna. I offer my humble obeisances to His Divine Grace through the Prabhupada for kindly taking the mercy of trying to deliver a person like me from conditioned life. I offer my humble obeisances to His Holiness Radhana Swami and to all of you. I was actually downstairs in front of the TV with Maharaj's. He was on the TV downstairs, and I had a little notebook and a pen, and I was going to listen to Maharaj speak and take notes. And somehow I'm not doing that now. I don't know how that happened. But I would like to make an observation about the wonderful class that was given this morning.
I will take notes.
You won't have much to take notes on. But this morning Maharaj said to me, it was announced he would give Bhagavatam class. And then he saw me and he said, would you like to give class? And I said, no Maharaj, they've announced you're giving class and I would also like to listen. And when I heard the particular verse, I was familiar with that verse, but it's of a particular nature, and I was thinking, I am very glad that I'm not giving class on this particular verse to all of you. And Maharaj took that verse, it was like a little seed, and he just caused that seed to unfold and to fully bloom into such a wonderful lesson. And I wanted to thank you specifically for speaking about that particular word, distinction, which conditioned souls have a tendency to hanker after. We all want to be recognized for something we think we are, for something we think we've done. And as Maharaj pointed out, this taste or this desire for distinction is an enormous pitfall for spiritual life. It's a guaranteed disaster. And at the same time, knowing that, we still have that urge. So very nicely, the remedy for this particular illness, the desire for distinction, is also one that is actually available by Prabhupada's mercy, by taking complete shelter in devotional service to the Supreme Lord Krishna, by humbly serving the mission of Lord Chaitanya as given to us and taught to us by Srila Prabhupada. We can actually find ourselves losing the desire for distinction and other unwanted seeds that are within the heart of all conditioned souls. Quite often it is noted how Srila Prabhupada began this movement. Maharaj was mentioning that today. Practically speaking, he he called himself a humble beggar because he came penniless on a cargo ship. And, you know, even I saw this Jaladuta one time before they dismantled it. And it wasn't even a very big freighter. It was actually, compared to the other freighters, it was here in Bombay. And when I went, I heard the Jaladuta was in the port, so I went to see it. And there were so many big freighters, and the Jaladuta was actually fairly small. It looked quite fragile compared to these other boats. And I was just thinking of Srila Prabhupada, how brave he was to take it upon himself at such an elderly age to get on this rather small freighter and cross the enormous ocean. It's one thing if you go across the bay, you know, across Bombay Bay or whatever the bay is, but, you know, across the Indian Ocean, across the Atlantic Ocean, and I could see how small that boat was. And with all the trouble that he endured during that crossing without anyone to help him, when we were recently in the yatra in Vrindavan, one day I had a little insignificant fever, and immediately two doctors were there, and IVs were in my arm, and medicines were being handed to me, and I didn't even ask for any of it. It was just coming. And Srila Prabhupada had major heart attacks, you know, at the age of 69, almost 70, on this boat without any knowledgeable medical person aboard. He was just alone on this boat, this little boat in this huge ocean, being tossed around, having a heart attack on his way to America, simply to come here to serve the orders of his spiritual master, which meant, by executing that order to propagate the mission of Lord Chaitanya, he is serving all of us. And to this very day, Srila Prabhupada is still serving all of us. He is serving us through the missions that he has left behind. He is serving us through his instructions that he has kindly imparted in his invaluable books that have been translated in over 60 languages, so that there is no excuse for any living entity anywhere to remain in ignorance. No matter what language you manage to speak, you can find a book from Srila Prabhupada with spiritual knowledge. But Srila Prabhupada took a great risk because he didn't know what was going to happen. Nowadays, if we're going to go somewhere, we go to excruciating trouble to make plans. You get insurance, flight insurance, health insurance, death insurance, car insurance, you know, all of these insurances, which are of no value when you're alive. They only work if you die. So you can just see how tricky this material world is, trying to insure you, trying to make you feel secure based on the fact if you die, some money will come. Srila Prabhupada was giving the greatest insurance plan, and that plan was to deliver us, everyone, from birth, death, disease, and old age. And the payments for this insurance plan are very nominal. They don't translate into dollars and cents or rupees, and, you know, they are simply every day we make a little deposit in the spiritual bank account by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and following the regulative principles. And by doing this, we gradually become free of these unwanted material desires and anxieties. Actually, when we want such things as adoration and distinction, they are not very pleasant, because even when you get them, the anxiety is there that you want to maintain it. I am equated with some people, I have been equated with people who were what you call famous. And their big anxiety was, you know, like when we take a temperature, if you have a large temperature, you want to reduce it. But for a person who is famous, they want their temperature of fame to always increase. And if their fame temperature is decreasing, they become very anxious. It's something that's unbearable to them because it means they are, you know, not being recognized so much. So by performing devotional service, these type of illusory attachments diminish because we see ourselves as insignificant servants of the Supreme Lord, and we start to behave in that manner. Instead of acting like foolish persons who are seeking our own self-distinction, our own self-adoration, we turn that propensity over to Lord Krishna. And it is Srila Prabhupada who is teaching us this very wonderful technique. And it is Srila Prabhupada who is assuring us on behalf of Lord Krishna, if we simply follow his instructions, in this very lifetime, we can become free of birth, death, disease, and old age. We become completely spiritually purified, and we can go back home, back to Godhead. And this year, there has, during the past 10 months or so, a great number of my God sisters and God brothers have been leaving their bodies. For a materialistic person, this is simply intolerable that, you know, that your loved ones are leaving their bodies. But it is very interesting to note how glorious these departures are. How glorious it is that the insurance plan is working, and at the time of death, one is able to chant the holy name and be assured of success. That the real success in life is to be assured of going back home, back to Godhead. And this particular success will be significantly noticeable at the time of death. Because at the time of death, by remembering Krishna, by remembering and hearing his holy names, then that is the note, that is the visible distinction that will separate a materialistic person from a devotee. The devotee of Krishna is not afraid of death, because they know what death is. They know it is simply a change of body. And for the devotee, they're not going after another material body with all the unfortunate situations that come along with it. They are changing this temporary material body for a permanent spiritual body in a loving relationship with Lord Krishna. And this is something that has been taught to us by Srila Prabhupada. And actually, Maharaj today said something very nice as well about that there's, I don't know how many numbers you put on the grandchildren, but then you said you hope there will be millions and millions of great chant grandchildren and billions of great great grandchildren, etc. So this is a little challenge to all of you, that you take up the service of Krishna consciousness very, very seriously and help increase the population of devotees. And by increasing the population of devotees, we can actually have an effect of making a real wonderful world. I was reading in a purport in the Bhagavatam yesterday, and Srila Prabhupada was discussing the effect of Maharaj Yudhisthira's ruling the world. And Maharaj Yudhisthira was a king. He was just like with the Priyavarta you were speaking about today. He was king of the world. Maharaj Yudhisthira, he was also king of the world. I mean, it's a little hard to imagine one person being king of the entire earth, but that's exactly what this position was. And he was effective for one reason only. And everybody was very happy under his leadership. And that reason was because Prabhupada describes, he was an ideal monarch because he was like a puppet. And he was a puppet to Lord Krishna. You see, if a person has their own agenda, their own plans, their own ideology, their own philosophy, then it's just, without any connection to Krishna, then it just becomes, you know, a clash of egos. But when somebody who's leading is surrendered to Lord Krishna, he is only going to care about serving Krishna. And serving Krishna includes serving all of Krishna's living entities. In fact, that includes not only human living entities, but the animals. Prabhupada points out they are also citizens, the trees, the creepers, the rivers. So Maharaj Yudhisthira was a wonderful example because he was simply serving Krishna. He was Krishna's puppet, only acting on behalf of Krishna's desire. And in that way, everyone underneath him was very happy. So this is an example for us to understand also, that if we want to have some happiness in our life, and I'm sure everybody would like to have some happiness in their life, nobody is really going to, if they have a choice, take misery. So that happiness comes only through one avenue, and that is service and surrender to the Supreme Lord Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada has kindly given us that avenue. He's given us every opportunity. And so on behalf of Srila Prabhupada, I ask you to please continue your service to Lord Krishna. And to those of you who may be new and haven't started, please contact one of the wonderful devotees here and find out how you too can start perfecting your life today. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Could everyone hear? Kirtita Mataji, can you hear? This is a new sound system. Is it better or worse than the old one? Huh? We'll take a vote. How many like this sound system better than the old one? Say Hari Bol. How many like old one better?
Stand up, stand up.
Okay, everyone raise your hands and we'll take the vote again. How many like this new sound system better? Raise your arms and say Hari Bol. How many like old sound system better? It's taken immense to try to devise this. Hari Bol. Can you hear now? Thank you. We'll take another vote at end of class. Thank you, Malati Devi Prabhu, for your genuine deep realizations. Malati Devi has been fighting against several incurable terminal diseases for about the last 20 years, 15 years, and yet so full of life, so full of gratitude, so full of enthusiasm. She's really, whatever she speaks, she exemplifies in such a unique and wonderful way. Devotees do not want distinction, but sometimes Krishna puts distinctions upon you. If we think they are ours, then real bhakti cannot grow in our heart. If we think ourselves very simple and fallen, and somehow, by inconceivable grace, Krishna's using me as a puppet in some way, then bhakti will actually grow. Just 2 days back, or just yesterday, the Kartik month ended for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Month of Damodar, where we meditate and contemplate each day on the nature of the affection between the Lord and his devotee. Damodar means one who is bound by the waist. One who is bound in a subordinate condition to the affection of his devotees. And this is reciprocal. Can I give a nice example from the holy scriptures? Every year the devotees of Bengal, usually about 300, would walk from Navadvip all the way to Jagannath Puri. It would take at least a couple of weeks each way, with much trouble and inconvenience. They would perform Harinam Sankirtan all the way. Some years, entire families came. Advaitacharya, Sita Thakurani, Achutananda, and the other children would come. Shivananda Sen would bring his three children. Srivas Thakur and Malini Devi would come. Great difficulty. They would leave their home, they would leave all of their occupational duties, and they would walk to Puri. Raghava Pandit and his sister Damayanti, they would spend so much time before the trip preparing prasad for Lord Chaitanya with so much attention. Hundreds of preparations. And each preparation was prepared in such a personal way. Nothing impersonal, nothing ritualistic, that I will make kichoris because kichoris should be made. No, they were thinking, they were actually meditating on Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepting the offering and eating it and how he would enjoy it and what his response would be. They would make preparations in very pure ghee with very fresh homegrown spices. They would prepare for months just to offer this to Lord Chaitanya. They would make a shukata preparation, which was very bitter, because Damayanti was meditating that I have just made preparations with lots of ghee. So after taking that, he will have some indigestion. So this bitter preparation will help to stabilize his digestive process and make him feel very nice. Srila Prabhupada explains herein that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But yet their love is so sweet and so pure that they're thinking about him like an ordinary person, that he may get indigestion. And actually, sometimes, just out of love for his devotee, the Lord does get indigestion. How can he get indigestion? Mahavishnu just inhales and all the universes go in his body. Yes? And he doesn't get indigestion. Just at one time, in a moment, he inhales and all the universes and all living entities, all the 24 elements of material nature, all the oceans and the saltwater oceans and the liquor water oceans and the sugarcane oceans and all the mountains and the Himalayas and all the monkeys and the snails and the human beings and the lions and the tigers, planets, they're all coming into his body, Harivo. And he gets no indigestion. Govardhan Puja, there was immense mountains of food, and within a second Krishna just eats it. Yes? Anior, anior. And he's asking, give me more, give me more. No indigestion. So the Supreme Absolute Truth has inconceivable potencies. But when Damayanti puts a little extra ghee in a preparation, Lord Chaitanya gets indigestion. Why does he get indigestion? Because he knows she made Shukata for his indigestion. And just so that he can honor the loving sentiments of Damayanti, who has made it for his indigestion, he gets indigestion. That is the sweetness of the love between the Lord and the devotee. It is described that once Murari Gupta made nice feasts for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Lord Chaitanya got indigestion. And he called for Murari Gupta, who was an Ayurvedic doctor, like Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Something maybe a little higher level. He is following in footsteps. And Lord Chaitanya said, I have indigestion. Please give me too much ghee on the rice. Oh, too much ghee on the rice. How many millions of people are offering Krishna food every day on the altar? Yes? In Jagannath Puri, Jagannath is eating 52 offerings a day. 56 offerings a day. And each one is enough for hundreds and hundreds of people. And he's eating. Very nice. But yet, just to reciprocate with the medicinal love of Murari Gupta, he actually felt indigestion. That is love. And Murari Gupta gave him some water, some hot water, yes? And Mahaprabhu drank it, and immediately the indigestion was gone. So yes, Damayanti was thinking like this, with such parental affection for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that he's good. There's a lot of ghee in this preparation, but this will neutralize the bile and the acids in his stomach, and he will feel very, very nice. Because the Lord accepts the purpose in which everything is offered to him. The Lord accepts the emotion of love. The Lord accepts our desire to please him. That's all. And he reciprocates accordingly. She was making hundreds of preparations. Some of them, Raghava Pandit and Damayanti, they would take mud from the river Ganges and add spices to it and roll it into balls. And then cook it. Harivo. And Mahaprabhu would eat it and it would be so sweet. And not only would she make all these preparations with so much effort, but then she would personally, with her own hands, she would sew bags for each preparation. Hundreds! And she'd sew each bag and seal it to keep each preparation fresh. And one, Makaradvaja, who was an associate of Raghava Pandit, he would take the responsibility to help carry all these bags of prasad. And Mahaprabhu, he would have Govinda save that bag and give him one little bag every day, just parts of it. 365 days a year, he would take something from those bags. And because it was made with such love, even a year later, it tasted as if it was just freshly prepared. It's not that she used preservatives or canning devices. It was her love that preserved it. And it was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's desire to taste her love that preserved it. When Lord Chaitanya would meet his devotees in Puri, he would be so happy. He would give them garlands, he would embrace them, he would put chandan on their bodies, he would arrange accommodations, he would arrange prasad. And each day the different devotees would invite him for lunch at their house, and he would reciprocate by coming. And for those 4 months they celebrated the cleansing of Gundicha, Ratayatra, and so many festivals, up until the end of Kartik. Janamastami, Radhastami, Julan Yatra, Sarat Purnima, Govardhan Puja, Ram Vijayotsav, Dasera. They would celebrate all these festivals in very, very devotional spirit of enthusiasm with Lord Chaitanya. And at the end of the 4 months of rainy season, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would order his devotees to return home. But he would do it with such affection. He would reveal his heart very sincerely to his devotees. Lord Chaitanya would speak to the assembly of Vaishnavas. Every year you come here to see me, taking so much trouble. Very difficult, long paths you take with tremendous difficulties to come and see me, and then you have to do the same thing to return to your homes. Very difficult. So much trouble you're taking every year. It is my wish to forbid you to come. But your association brings me so much pleasure. And it is continuously increasing and increasing. I have no power in my heart to forbid you to come. Although it is with so much difficulty. And Nityananda Prabhu, I have ordered him to remain in Bengal and not come to Puri every year. But still, despite my instruction, due to his spontaneous love, he comes. What could I do? Out of his causeless mercy, Advaita Chandra is coming every year. In his old age, he's walking for weeks each direction just to show his affection to me. I have no power to repay the debt that I owe him. And all of you devotees, you have left behind your homes, you have left behind all your comforts, and you have traveled by such difficult, dangerous paths only for me. Only to give me happiness. You are doing all of this. And myself, I just remain here in Puri. I do not have to endure any difficulties or fatigue. I just remain here where I am, as I am. But you continue to come just to give me happiness. I am a mendicant. I have no wealth. I have no money. How could I possibly repay you for your love? The only thing I have is my body. I surrender my body unto each and every one of you. I am yours. It's all I have to give. And now, any one of you, wherever you want to sell me, I will be sold. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would speak so affectionately to his devotees, the devotees' hearts melted. Incessantly, they were weeping tears of love. He was conquering them by his words of affection. Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Prabhu, with choked up voices, somehow or other, spoke a reply. They said, "My Lord, you have already made the entire universe subordinate to you by your transcendental attributes. And now you are speaking such sweet words to your devotees. We are completely conquered. How is it possible for us to leave you after you speak such words?" Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, hearing them, would embrace them. In this way, Mahaprabhu would embrace his devotees, and his devotees would weep, and the Lord would weep. How affection, bhakti, conquers the Lord, and how the Lord conquers his devotees by love. This is the highest perfection of life. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in this world to teach us what we should aspire for, strive for, and long for in our lives. Not material wealth or material affection, which ultimately brings frustration and death. Not mystic powers which further aggravate our desire to be the Lord and lord it over, which is like giving salt water to a thirsty man. Not impersonal liberation or mukti of simply abolishing all material desires and attachments and merging into the oneness of the Absolute. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to demonstrate prema bhakti, the eternal nature of the soul, ecstatic, intimate, affectionate relationships with the Supreme Lord. And it is this that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give us. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told his devotees that I have no way to repay you for your surrender. Therefore, I have to surrender to you. Isn't this a beautiful concept? Try to understand it. It's the heart of the essence of devotional service. Krishna culminates Bhagavad Gita after explaining the nature of the soul as differentiated from the body, the nature of the soul in relationship to the body and the relationship to the Supreme Absolute, in how the soul is incriminated by the laws of karma and how it is being controlled by the powers of time. Bhagavad Gita describes the karma yoga system, the astanga yoga system, the jnana yoga system. And what is the culmination? Sarva dharman purityajya mam ekam sharanam braja. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha ishami masucha. That you should abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender to me. I shall relieve you of all sinful reactions. Do not fear. So Krishna is telling, surrender to me. Who is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. The highest revelation of the Absolute Truth is Radha and Krishna. Radha and Krishna have become one as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lord Chaitanya here is telling his devotees that your surrender to me, so much difficulty, so much trouble you are enduring for my sake, just to give me happiness, I have no way to repay you. Therefore, I surrender myself to you. And now you can sell me anywhere you want because I am your property. unless one surrenders to Krishna, one cannot actually give Krishna. But for those who endure difficulties for the sake of Krishna, out of love, devotion, Krishna gives himself to those persons, and then he requests those persons to give himself to others.
Mad bhakta pujapyadika.
So yes, when Mahaprabhu spoke in this way, the devotees, their hearts melted. And the Lord's heart melted. And they would simply embrace each other and cry in ecstatic spiritual love. The devotees could not leave. For 5 to 7 days, they would just remain with each other. Impossible to leave. Finally, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would inspire them that they must go home and perform their duties. And once again, he said, Nityananda Prabhu, do not come to Jagannath Puri every year. Remain in Bengal and I will come there to see you. And then the devotees with great, great difficulty would take that long, difficult journey home. All the while feeling immense love and separation from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and their solace was finding his presence, his most sublime presence in each other's association as they chant the holy name. The previous year, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent one of his dear most loving associates to pacify his mother. Do you remember who that was? Jagadananda Pandit. Because he understood his mother, Sachi Devi, how she was living in such ecstatic love and separation. He sent Jagadananda Pandit to Navadvip. He walked all the way. And Lord Chaitanya gave him gifts of Jagannath's clothes and Jagannath's Mahaprasad. And Jagadananda Pandit went all the way to Navadvip and he met Sachi Mata and he gave her Jagannath's prasad. He gave her Lord Chaitanya's prasad. And most of all, he was speaking confidential pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he had seen with his own eyes and heard from the devotees. And Sachi Mata was in ecstasy. She was so overwhelmed with happiness just to hear about her son. When Jagadananda Pandit's presence in Navadvip was understood, all the devotees were calling him one by one to stay at their homes. He stayed at the home of Advaitacharya. And Advaitacharya, when he would hear Jagadananda Pandit speaking the qualities, the pastimes, the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would just be roaring in ecstasy. Couldn't give up his association. Then Basudev Dutt, Murari Gupta, they invited him to their homes. And they just kept him there as long as they could keep him there. And constantly, all day and practically all night, he would just glorify Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes and teachings. And together, in great happiness, they would chant the holy names. The devotees felt so much happiness just hearing about Lord Chaitanya from Jagadananda Pandit. Because he spoke with so much love, with so much realization. They could not give up each other's association. For some time, Jagadananda Pandit lived in the home of Shivananda Sen. There, he and Shivananda Sen wanted to offer some special service out of the pure love of their hearts for Lord Chaitanya. With great effort, they personally took sandalwood and extracted the oil from it. That's a difficult process. Shivananda Sen and Jagadananda Pandit were personally extracting oil from pure sandalwood. This is in Bengal. And they made a large quantity, about 15 kilos of pure sandalwood oil, made with their own loving hands. And then they made a big clay pot to put all the 15 kilos of sandalwood oil in. And Jagadananda Pandit, with very much difficulty, carried that clay pot of sandalwood oil back to Jagannath Puri. Now please understand, in those days, this is very costly. And on the roads, there's all robbers and dacoits and thieves. To have something so expensive as this, and Jagadananda Pandit, he had no possessions. He was a very simple mendicant. He had no guards to protect him, hardly. He was risking his life because he wanted to make this offering to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when he arrived in Puri, Jagadananda Pandit gave that big clay pot of sandalwood oil to Govinda, Lord Chaitanya's personal servant, and told him, please massage the body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with this oil every day. So once when Lord Chaitanya lay down to rest, Govinda brought this big pot of sandalwood oil. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, what is that? Govinda said, Jagadananda Pandit has sent. It is pure sandalwood oil. He wants me to massage your head with it, knowing that it will neutralize the bile and the mucus and the acids if I massage your head with this, and your high blood pressure will become lower because of that. He gave a nice medicinal excuse. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that I am in the renounced order. I am sannyasi. I cannot be massaged with this fragrant, opulent sandalwood oil. And then Lord Chaitanya said, tell Jagadananda to give this sandalwood oil for the lamps in the temple of Lord Jagannath. Then all of his endeavors will be successful. Jagadananda Pandit asked Govinda, did you massage him with the oil? Did he like it? Govinda repeated the message to Lord Chaitanya. Jagadananda Pandit remained silent. Not a word said. 10 days later, Govinda said to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that Jagadananda Pandit really wants you to accept this sandalwood oil. He says it will be very, very good for you. And Lord Chaitanya said, "Wow! I am a renunciate. I am a sannyasi. First he's giving me sandalwood oil. Then he will next give me a masseur. I am in the renounced order of life. I cannot accept such opulences. What will happen if I am walking down the road and people smell a sannyasi like this? They will think I'm some tantric sannyasi who has so many women that they are enjoying secretly." Have Jagadananda Pandit give this oil to the lamps of the Jagannath temple. Govinda did not say another word to Jagadananda Pandit after that. But Jagadananda Pandit came to Lord Chaitanya's room. Gambira. And Lord Chaitanya saw Jagadananda Pandit and he said that this sandalwood is so nice, but I am sannyasi. I cannot accept it. Please offer it to Lord Jagannath and that will make all of your efforts successful. And Jagadananda Pandit, in great anger, he picked up that big 15-kilo pot of sandalwood oil and he said, "Who has made up these false stories? I never brought any sandalwood oil to you." And then right in front of Lord Chaitanya's feet in the courtyard, he threw it to the ground, cracked the pot, and all the sandalwood oil went into the earth. And then Jagadananda Pandit just walked away, went right to his room, bolted the door, and laid in bed. Hare Krishna. Just laid down. Wouldn't say a word to anyone, wouldn't eat, wouldn't sleep, wouldn't bathe, just laid there. 3 days later, Lord Chaitanya comes to Jagadananda Pandit's home. And he says, oh Jagadananda, today I'm coming to your house for lunch prasad. Please make nice prasad for me. I'm just going to the temple and I will return at noon. When Jagadananda Pandit heard that Mahaprabhu is coming for lunch, he got up from his bed, he took his bath, immediately he gathered all vegetables and grains and started cooking so nice preparations. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived at noon. Jagadananda Pandit put a beautiful banana leaf plate with a big stack of first-class rice covered profusely with pure golden ghee. And then there were so many delicious sabjis surrounding this pile of rice. And there were cakes and sweet rice and so many preparations. So Lord Chaitanya told Jagadananda Pandit that please put another banana leaf down. Today we will take together because I know you have been fasting. Jagadananda Pandit said, "No, you first take, I will take after." Lord Chaitanya put his arms in the air. He said, "No, I will not take anything unless you come and sit with me." He said, "I will not refuse your request. I will take, I promise, but after you. First you take." So Lord Chaitanya, out of fear to disappoint him, he started eating. And as he was eating, Jagadananda Pandit kept giving him more and more and more. And Lord Chaitanya was eating more and more. And he was giving more and he was eating more. And he was giving more and eating more. And Lord Chaitanya was glorifying the prasad. He said, "This prasad is so delicious. Every preparation is like nectar. I can understand, Jagadananda Pandit, you cook such delicious prasad even when you're in an angry mood." Krishna is so pleased with you. I believe that even when you cook in an angry mood, Krishna is so pleased with you that he personally cooks through you. Such delicious rice, Krishna has accepted it. You are so fortunate. And Jagadananda Pandit, with great humility, he revealed his heart. He said, "He who will eat this food has prepared it. I have only collected the ingredients." This is Vaishnav. Devotee will never take credit for anything good that he or she does. As soon as we take credit, we're in illusion. If we're just a little sincere, then Krishna, the person who we're offering whatever service, he will empower us to do that service in a wonderful way. Prabhupada simply prayed to be a puppet. Puppet is simply depending on the strings of the puppeteer. Similarly, a devotee is always thinking that Krishna, you can use me in any way you like. You can make me success, you can make me failure. I'm just your servant. You can save me, protect me, or you can kill me. I'm just your servant. We were speaking in the Vrindavan Yatra about His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj. Please, everyone today, we should all pray for him, because he has very severe cancer at a very advanced stage. And Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj tells all of his well-wishers and followers, please do not pray to Krishna to save me. Please pray to Krishna that whatever they want to do with me, let them do with it. I am their obedient servant. Whatever Prabhupada and Krishna wants to do with this body, with this life, let them do it. I am their servant. That is the prayer. This is the words of a person who's in such a severe state. Actually, that is good health, spiritually. So Jagadananda Pandit said like this, he who will eat the offering is he who has prepared it. I simply collected the ingredients. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahankara vimudhatma iti. Bhagavad Gita explains, the bewildered soul thinks him or herself to be the doer of activities. For a conditioned soul, we're simply puppets being controlled by the strings of the three modes of material nature. And for a devotee, Mahatmanastu mam parata daivim prakriti mashyatra. What is a Mahatma? One who is under the control of Krishna and Krishna's divine energy. One who is the puppet, the instrument of the power of Krishna. So Jagadananda Pandit kept giving Mahaprabhu more and more food. Every time he just ate a little sabji, he would put more. And he'd eat a little sabji and he'd put more. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, out of fear of Jagadananda Pandit, kept eating and eating. Sometimes he would try to get up and Jagadananda Pandit would come with more sabjis and more rice and more cakes and more prasad. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was fearing if he didn't satisfy Jagadananda Pandit completely by eating, then Jagadananda Pandit would continue to fast. Harivo, this is the power of bhakti. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was afraid of his devotee. And he ate 10 times more than he would eat on a regular basis. 10 times more.
Finally, Jagadananda Pandit kept just feeding him and feeding him and feeding him. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I've already eaten 10 times my ordinary amount. Please, 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 you know, let me stop eating now. So then Jagadananda Pandit brought him chewing spices and garland and sandalwood oil and washed his hands and washed his feet. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, then now you eat. And Jagadananda Pandit said, I will eat, but you must go home and you must take rest now. Lord Chaitanya said, no, I want to watch you eat. He says, I promise you I will eat, but you go home and take rest now. So Lord Chaitanya told Govinda, I will go home, but you stay here and you don't return until you see Jagadananda Pandit eating. Then Lord Chaitanya went back to Gambira. Jagadananda Pandit said to Govinda, you should go home and massage Lord Chaitanya. That's your service to him at this time. He said, no, no. He said, yes, yes, I will eat, I will eat. You just go home and you massage Lord Chaitanya. He said, I have to first feed Raghunath Bhatt and others who have helped me cook. Ramai Pandit and Raghunath Bhatt Goswami helped him cook. Now, Raghunath Bhatt Goswami, it is described, he was such a cook. He could speak the Srimad Bhagavatam and cook prasad in such way that he would utterly conquer the hearts of all the devotees and the Lord himself. So Govinda went back. And Jagadananda Pandit then served Raghunath Bhatt Goswami, served Ramai Pandit Goswami. He served all the other devotees who were present. And Lord Chaitanya told Govinda, I can't rest until I hear that Jagadananda Pandit has eaten. Go back and don't return until he eats. This is after he got massaged. So Govinda returned and he saw Jagadananda Pandit after serving all the devotees. He's already fasted for 3 days. Then he sat down and took some of the Maha Maha Prasad of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he ran back and told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is eating your prasad. And then Lord Chaitanya took rest very peacefully. Now Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains that these inconceivable affectionate relationship between Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Jagadananda Pandit is on such a pure and high spiritual platform that anyone who hears this narration which we have spoken today or reads the book Prema Vibharata by Jagadananda Pandit will understand what real love is. And anyone who hears this narration of the relationship of Jagadananda Pandit and Lord Chaitanya will attain ecstatic love for Krishna. Would you like to hear another story about him? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his Antyalila, in his separation from Krishna, he was sometimes feeling very, very much longing for Krishna in the mood of Sri Radha. And his body would become thin. And he would just sleep on the hard floor, just on some plantain bark. Yes? And because he was sleeping like this, sometimes there would be bruises on Lord Chaitanya's beautiful golden body. So Jagadananda Pandit, you sure you want to hear another story? If you want to hear, say Hari Bol. If you would rather take prasad now, please be honest and say Hari Bol. Right here. Very nice. So Jagadananda Pandit couldn't tolerate seeing Lord Chaitanya sleeping on floor in this way. So he got some very nice, expensive material of cloth. And then he took the cotton from the shimuli tree. And he made a beautiful quilt and pillow for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And gave it to Govinda.
That night when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to the Gambira to take rest, Swarup Damodar Goswami was present. Govinda had it all laid out. And Lord Chaitanya saw this beautiful quilt with pillow on top. And he said, "What is this?" And Govinda replied, "Jagadananda Pandit has made this for you to sleep on." And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became fearful in his heart.
But then he spoke. He said, "I am in the renounced order of life. I am a sannyasi. I must set the proper standards of renunciation. I cannot be hypocrite. I must sleep on floor. First you're giving me this beautiful, next you'll try to give me a bed and so many other things." He said, "Take this out of here." And then Mahaprabhu put down his dried plantain bark and took rest. But the devotees were very disheartened to see the Lord's body inflicted by this situation. So Swarup Damodar Goswami, he knew the heart of the Lord. He got a big quantity of banana leaves. And then with his own fingernails, he stripped each banana leaf into fine, fine fiber shreds. Then he took one of Lord Chaitanya's outer cloths and filled the fine shreds of the banana leaves, which Lord Chaitanya would usually sleep on anyway, into the cloth of Lord Chaitanya. And he made a little quilt as well as a pillow. And he laid that down for Lord Chaitanya. And with great difficulty, all the devotees were begging and begging and begging Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to accept this very simple, humble offering of Swarup Damodar Goswami. And ultimately Lord Chaitanya accepted it. And everyone was happy except one day Jagadananda Pandit came to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And whatever little anger of love was in his heart, he made it disguised. And he was very submissive. And he said that, "You know, my Lord, you know that for many, many years I've wanted to go to Vrindavan Dham on pilgrimage. But you've never given me permission. Today I am pleading with you. Please fulfill my heart's desire. I want to worship Vrindavan. I want to see Sri Vrindavan. Please give me your permission to go, because I cannot go without your permission and the blessings of all the Vaishnavas." Lord Chaitanya said to Jagadananda Pandit that, "You are in an angry mood. If you go to bring Vrindavan in this angry mood, then you will become a mendicant and a beggar and you will criticize me." And he said, no, I'm not angry. I will not do those things. Please give me permission." Lord Chaitanya said, "No, I do not give you permission to go to Vrindavan." Now, if you want to approach the Lord, the process is to approach through devotee. So Jagadananda Pandit approached Swarup Damodar Goswami and said, "You know, for years and years and years I've wanted to go to Vrindavan. But Lord Chaitanya thinks I'm angry, so he won't let me go. Please appeal to him on my behalf to give me permission to go to Vrindavan. I long to see that holy place." This is the mood we should go to Vrindavan. Who are we? And who is Jagadananda Pandit? Jagadananda Pandit is one of the supreme, most perfected souls in the conjugal rasa of Madhurya Leela, who has descended from Goloka Vrindavan. And he's not getting permission. And he's longing year after year after year after year. And he's begging the devotees to appeal on his behalf. That is how we approach Vrindavan Dham. Not cheaply. Not that we just go and we rent a room or buy some land and just gossip and socialize and think I'm in Vrindavan. Hare Krishna. It's not a place for socializing. It's a place for surrendering the mood of the Goswamis. That is what Vrindavan is about. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was approached by Swarup Damodar Goswami. He said, Jagadananda Pandit really, really wants to go to Vrindavan. Please give him permission. Lord Chaitanya said, yes, he can go to Vrindavan, but I want to speak to him first. And then Jagadananda Pandit came before the Lord, and the Lord said, you may go to Vrindavan. There will be no difficulty for you between here and Varanasi. But after Varanasi, there are many thieves, robbers, and dacoits. And they are especially fond of robbing, beating, kidnapping, and making slaves out of Bengalis. So be careful. Prabhupada says, Bengalis are usually not very stout and strong. But many have good intelligence. So these robbers and thieves would steal them and beat them and just force them to do intellectual services for them. So he said, from Varanasi to Vrindavan, you should travel under the protection of powerful Kshatriyas. Hare Krishna. Just see how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so concerned with the physical welfare of his devotee. He didn't just say, just depend on Krishna. Yes, he was supposed to depend on Krishna, but Mahaprabhu was very practical. He wanted his devotee to be protected, so he gave him all cautious advice. And then Lord Chaitanya said, when you go to Vrindavan, you should remain in the association of Sanatana Goswami. You should not leave his association for even a moment. And do not stay there very long or mix too intimately with the residences, or you will make offenses. Just go for a short time, stay in the association of Sanatana Goswami, and do not walk on top of Govardhan Hill. And come back quickly. Those were his instructions. And Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained the purport of these instructions. Familiarity breeds contempt. Vrindavan Dham is the highest abode of the Absolute Supreme Lord. There is no difference between Gokul Vrindavan and Goloka, the highest planet of the spiritual world. There's no difference between Vrindavan and Radha and Krishna. It is their Dham. It is none different from them. So the tendency of a conditioned soul, even the tendency of a neophyte devotee, and Jagadananda Pandit was a very advanced devotee. Mahaprabhu said, still that tendency is there to take the people of Vrindavan to be ordinary, to judge their activities with our material senses, and then we make offenses, either in our mind or with our words or our bodies. That is very dangerous. And similarly, we could see the Dham in a very materialistic way. Therefore, when we're in the holy dham of Vrindavan, we must constantly be in the association of very, very advanced devotees. And should not stay too long. That is Lord Chaitanya's direct instruction. Unless we're ordered with blessings to do some service. Otherwise, we take things cheaply. And Mahaprabhu was not a He was not approving of that. So Jagadananda Pandit traveled. When he reached Varanasi, he met Tapanrisha and Chandrasekhar. And what do you think they did? For several days, they just were so much eager to hear Jagadananda Pandit's Gauranga Katha. He spoke the glories of Lord Chaitanya, and together they felt great, great ecstatic pleasure chanting the holy names.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki.
Then he arrived in Vrindavan. Actually, Jagadananda Pandit, this is important, before he left Puri, he fell and worshipped the feet of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, and then he worshipped the feet of every devotee, received their blessings and permission. Only then did he begin his journey. And when he arrived in Vrindavan, he went directly to where Srila Sanatana Goswami was residing. And Sanatana Goswami took him on parikrama of all the 12 forests of Brajbhumi. And they concluded their parikrama at Mahavan Gokul. How many of you were on the yatra with us? Please raise your hands. Do you remember the day we spent in Gokul Mahavan, in that beautiful Goshala, being supremely sanctified and blessed by the dust that had been raised by the hooves of the cows of Braj? Sanatana Goswami was living in a cave in Mahavan. And Jagadananda Pandit was staying in his cave with him. Now, Sanatana Goswami every day would do Madhukari. He would just go from to various temples or to houses of the Brahmins or the Brijvasis, and he would beg for some simple ingredients. And oftentimes he would bring them back to Jagadananda Pandit, and Jagadananda Pandit, in a little temple compound, he would cook. He would cook for Sanatana Goswami and cook for himself. Sometimes he would cook and Sanatana Goswami would just do Madhukari and just eat the simple rotis that he received. It was a very, very wonderful relationship they had with each other. And Sanatana Goswami was so very, very pleased to hear Jagadananda Pandit revealing the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. One day, Jagadananda Pandit said that he was going to prepare lunch prasad for Sanatana Goswami. And he was cooking with pots and little stoves being fueled with cow dung that was dried up and made into patties. He was cooking so nicely. He was going to offer to Krishna and Radharani and Gauranga Mahaprabhu and then serve Sanatana Goswami. So Sanatana Goswami came and he sat down just in front of Jagadananda Pandit. And on that particular day, he was wearing a red piece of cloth around his head that was given to him by a sannyasi named Mukunda Saraswati. Now when Jagadananda Pandit saw
that saffron cloth wrapped around Sanatana Goswami's head, he became ecstatic with love. It awakened his remembrance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He wanted to hear Sanatana Goswami glorify the qualities, the characteristics, and the mercy of Lord Gauranga. So he inquired, "Who has given you that saffron cloth that's wrapped around your head?" And Sanatana Goswami said, "Mukunda Saraswati." Jagadananda Pandit became so overwhelmed with anger, he picked up a pot and attacked Sanatana Goswami. And Sanatana Goswami became very ashamed. And Jagadananda Pandit, he wasn't actually going to do, but he was just trying to express his emotions. So Jagadananda Pandit put the pot back on the stove. And then he spoke with a very disheartened voice. He said, "You are a great saint. You are the most intimate, most qualified, exalted associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. How? How is it possible for you to be putting the cloth of another sannyasi on your head? What kind of an example is that?" And Sanatana Goswami, he was so impressed. He said, "Today, Krishna has revealed your supreme faith in Lord Chaitanya. Today, I am learning what real faith is about. The whole purpose that I put that cloth around my head was just for you to reveal your faith and your love in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And all my efforts are successful. But from now on, I will not put on anyone else's cloths except Lord Chaitanya's, I promise." And in this way, they spoke together, and Jagadananda Pandit and Sanatana Goswami took prasad together in great, great happiness. Jagadananda Pandit remained in Vrindavan for 2 months, always under the care and the association of Sanatana Goswami, strictly following the instructions of the Lord. And then on the order of the Lord, he returned to Puri. It was a very, very dramatic scene. Before leaving, Jagadananda Pandit told Sanatana Goswami Lord Chaitanya's message. He said, "Tell Sanatana Goswami that I will be coming to Vrindavan again for the second time, and he should make all arrangements for my stay." Oh, Sanatana Goswami was so happy to hear this news. Mahaprabhu is coming again. And then Sanatana Goswami gave several gifts to Jagadananda Pandit to present to Lord Chaitanya. Should I continue? He personally, with his own hands, collected some sand, or from, let us say, some dust, from the very place where Radha and Krishna performed their Ras Lila. He collected that and put it in a small container. And then Sanatana Goswami gave a beautiful Govardhan Shila to present Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He presented a Gunjamala and also some pilu fruits. Jagadananda Pandit walked that long journey from Vrindavan all the way back to Sri Jagannath Puri. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Jagadananda Pandit had returned, there was a great festival to welcome him home. All the devotees were so happy. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him with so much affection, as did all the Vaishnavas.
And then Jagadananda Pandit offered the sand from the place of the Raslila, the Govardhan Shila, the Gunjamala, and the Pilu fruits to Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya took the Govardhan Shila, the Raslila sand, and the Gunjamala, but he distributed the Pilu fruits to the devotees. And according to Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, there was a very, very historical pastime that took place. All the devotees ate the Pilu fruits. Harivo. How many of you have eaten Pilu fruits? Now, Pilu fruits do not grow in Bengal. So those devotees who knew what is a Pilu fruit, they sucked the seeds and then discarded them. But those who do not know Pilu fruits, which was most of the devotees, Bengali devotees, they were chewing the seeds and swallowing them. And little did they know that if you chew the seeds and swallow them, they're very hot like chili peppers. And they burn. And they were burning the tongues, the mouths, and the throats of all the devotees. And this was a very enjoyable pastime. According to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. In the association of devotees, everything is so enjoyable. Even though they were being burnt, their mouths, their throats, their tongue was being burnt, they were so happy. They were in ecstasy. Why? Because it is prasad from Vrindavan Dham, from the hands of Sanatan Goswami, carried by Jagadananda Pandit, offered by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's hands. You can't see these things as material. Even though they were crying and perspiring from the heat and the pain, they were in ecstasy, loudly chanting the holy names. It's not what the senses experience. It's our consciousness that makes life meaningful. We can take prasad and we can be worrying about this or that, or we could be thinking bad about someone. We could be blaspheming devotees as we're eating prasad. I've seen it. I've even done it. Yes, you're eating Krishna's remnants, Mahaprasad, and you're blaspheming. The nectar's going in and the poison's coming out. What is this? Everything is a matter of consciousness. If we really want to appreciate Krishna, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he took the prasad of Raghunath Das Goswami, which was the inner portion of stale, decomposed rice that was spit out by cows because it was abominable. Yes? He would take the inner portion, the little kernel inside of the rice, can you imagine? And then he'd put a little salt on it and eat that. Now, how many of you would think that is a feast? But when Mahaprabhu tasted it, he said, I've never tasted anything so sweet and nectarine. Because he was tasting the consciousness of Raghunath Das Goswami. Everything is consciousness. If we're grateful, if we're appreciative in whatever situation, even if we're dying, we could be blissful. Because our consciousness is grateful for Krishna's mercy. If we see that something is Krishna's mercy, and we have a grateful heart, then that consciousness can be happy and prosper. But if we have a critical mentality, then we lose the chance. So let's examine this little pastime. The devotees could have thought, it's hot, it's bitter, it's horrible, it's burning me. What are you doing? Why didn't they tell you? Why didn't you tell me what to do with it?
You're not supposed to eat pilu seeds. In Vrindavan, anyone who eats a pilu seed is a pilu. It's just crazy. You don't do that. Nobody does it. You're crazy. But Bengalis don't know pilu. They were eating. And the people who knew, they were, I forgot to tell you. And they were, and everyone was in bliss. They weren't saying, oh, it's horrible. This is bitter and hot and horrible. They were in ecstasy that this is from Vrindavan. This is from the hands of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. This is sent by Sanatan Goswami. How fortunate. How wonderful. Yes. Sometimes when we perform devotional service, sometimes we taste the sweet pulp of the pilu fruit of devotional service. And sometimes when we perform devotional service, there's hot, bitter, spicy, painful substance. Yes? Do any of you ever have that experience? Ashlisyavapadaratampanashtumam. This is the consciousness. Whatever comes doesn't matter. It's the mercy of the Lord. Therefore, we're happy. It is a matter of consciousness. If we criticize, if we complain, then we contaminate ourselves and we contaminate everyone around. But if we're grateful and we recognize mercy and praise God and praise His mercy upon us, then we will see Krishna always. Thus, the pilu pastime took place amongst all the devotees. And one who hears this wonderful narration of Jagadananda Pandit's loving devotion to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will get Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's causeless mercy and attain ecstatic love of Krishna through the chanting of the holy name. I often give examples. Srimalati Devi Prabhu was talking about devotees dying. We have seen Malati Devi in such unbearable, impossible life-death conditions, this far from death. Just gratefully giving her heart to Prabhupada, Krishna, and the Vaishnavas with no complaint. It's not something theoretical. It's real. We have seen Kunti Devi paralyzed, racked with pain, final stages of cancer. Can't even move. Just, I wouldn't trade my position for anyone else in the world. Now I'm hearing Prabhupada's words as if he's speaking directly and personally to me. I have never heard this before. She was just reading his books. Every word, Prabhupada, she feels and experiences that he's personally speaking to her. She said, I would not trade this experience for anything or anyone else in the world. Grateful. It's a matter of consciousness. So yes, any fool and rascal can complain. Any fool and rascal can criticize. Any fool and rascal can just say, this is not the right, I should not be treated like this, I give up. I've tried, things are not going my way, I'm a devotee, I'm chanting, I should be in perfect health, I should have lots of money, I should be successful. If I'm a brahmachari, I should be learned, I should be effulgent, and everybody should be nice to me, and I should be happy and comfortable and healthy. I shouldn't have typhoid and malaria. What is this? Who is this? Why is this? How is this? Who is this? Is Krishna really God? If you have this consciousness, then you miss the chance. But we read in the scriptures and we see from practical examples in this world, devotees, even in the most difficult situations, whether they taste the sweet pulp of the pilu fruit or whether they get the bite of the seed of the pilu fruit, they're grateful. They take shelter of the Lord and they chant the holy names.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
No, Prabhupada said, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. But real happiness doesn't mean that everything materially goes your way. Or everything emotionally goes your way. The happiness he's talking about is in whatever situation comes upon you, you surrender to Krishna with a loving and grateful heart and carry on with your service, eager to hear his glories, eager to serve his devotees, and eager to take shelter of the holy name. That is practical, tangible, substantial happiness. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. And try to be servant of the servant of the servant. Depend on the blessings of the Vaishnavas. The Guru and the previous Acharyas. And you will know for sure that you are on the path back home, back to Godhead. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Now we shall have Sankirtan. Thank you very much. Dance and chant as if you have just bit into pilu fruits, seeds.